back in the day. And we took a family outing one day, and we decided to go to around 56. Anybody ever been to 56? Sillamore Creek, this is where Kathy's family is from. And we decided to wade up Sillamore Creek. And that is a picture. As Kathy was behind us, she took this picture. And this picture has stuck in my mind for all of these years because it says so much to me. Picture is worth 1,000 words. We're being watched by our children. We're being imitated by our children. We are the greatest in the, especially the early days, the greatest influence that they have in their lives. We were at the house the other day. We had the twins with us. Ashley was working. And I left my shoes in the floor. These shoes right here, in fact. And I looked around and Ethan had them on. And he was clomping through the house. He said, I papaw. They do watch. They do imitate. It is monkey see, monkey do. So it's important that we talk about this when we're dealing with our circle series. We're talking about learning to live out of our core, learning to live out of our relationship with God. We spent 3 weeks talking about developing the inner circle, learning to live loved by God, getting the revelation that God loves us unconditionally. And learning to live that way is such a challenge. But when we learn that, it sets the course not only for our relationship with God, but our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our children, our relationship with our friends, the people that we go to church with, that we work with, and even the stranger. It's so important that we get this inner circle right. Then we talked about choosing to love God and what that means. And then we talked about learning to live in a living fellowship with God. This sets the course for our whole life. Last week we talked about our spouses, how to represent what we need to represent and how to build strong marriages and strong relationships, because out of strong marriages come strong families. So today we want to talk about our kids. And this picture has said so many things to me throughout the years. In fact, we lost it for a while. And Kathy was rummaging through our pictures and found it. But I never forgot this picture. I never forgot seeing this picture of me walking up the stream and one of my children behind me following my footsteps. I want to use a couple of texts today. Go with me if you got your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 6. I'm reading today from the Amplified Bible. And there's a couple things that it says in here. And this is a very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. We've all heard that, haven't we? But the Amplified gives a little bit different insight. And it says, in keeping with his individual gift or bent. We have a responsibility as a parent to understand what our children's gifts, personality, what their bent is in life. We are all designed with a purpose. And part of raising children is helping children to find their bent and their purpose and aim them in that direction. The second verse is found in Psalms 127 in verse 4. And it says this, as arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. What do we do with an arrow? We shoot it, don't we? What do we do with our children? We shoot them, don't we? No. No, we aim them at a target. Have you ever shot an arrow at a target? Well, that's what we're supposed to do with our children. Our children are arrows to be aimed at targets. And our greatest responsibility in life, outside of our relationship with God and our spouse, is to aim our children. They are like arrows in our lives. We're going to talk today about four areas of raising children. Now, I am not an expert on raising children. I have helped to raise three. I'm working on three more, helping with that. But I want to talk about four areas that I feel that are important. And that is the area of love, instruction, choice, and rewards and consequences. These are things that our children need to understand. These are things that our children need to be trained in. As I said, if we're talking about love, first of all, we need to know that our relationships flow from our core. If you don't get this, God relationship right, you're not going to be right in the rest of your relationships. It's got to start with you and God. And those three things that we talked about. Number one is learning to live loved, not condemned. See, if you don't learn to live loved and you live in condemnation, do you know what you're going to do to your other relationships? You're going to condemn people. It's not your job to judge people. It's not your job to condemn people. It's not your job to condemn your children. It's your job to love your children. And what kind of love does God love us with? Is it conditional love or is it unconditional love? It's conditional. How many of you know that children are a challenge to raise? Anybody? Come on now. They are. They're really a challenge. And, I heard John Osteen, this is Joel's daddy. He was probably talking about Joel when he said this. He says, you know, the Bible says that children are a blessing from God. He says, there's been a time that I almost beat a blessing to death. And he was probably talking about Joel. But I'm glad he didn't beat him to death, aren't you? But children are challenges. And if we're going to raise our children right, the overall motivating factor in our lives has to be unconditional love. Can you say amen? Are you going to be louder than the first crowd this morning? I hope so. I was talking with Chris the other day, and he made this statement that made me do some research. He says, the marriage relationship is like a crucible. A crucible. Now, I began to do some research on what a crucible is. A crucible is a container, like a bowl. And it has been, it's used for refracting metal and glass. And it can stand high temperatures, but it is made that way. And what they do is they put the ore inside the crucible, and then they begin to heat it up. And what the crucible does is it can withstand the temperature, and as the metal is melted or smelted, the impurities rise to the top and they take the impurities off and they wind up with a pure metal like gold or copper. A lot of times in the old days they smelted copper and they used a crucible to do that. Well, the marriage relationship is like a crucible. It is a place because when children come to us, even though they have all of the seed within them to become what they were designed to do, they are unmolded. They're not complete. They have to be trained. They have to be aimed. They have to be, and because they come with sin, like the rest of us, guess what they have to do? They need a crucible, a safe place that they can grow. And things can happen and be molded in their life where the impurities are brought out of their lives. That is our responsibility as parents, is to bring our children through that process. It is not an angry process as we saw here, okay, on the stage, in the skit. It's not that kind of process, but the main motivating thing in that is unconditional love. Unconditional love. How many of you know that sometimes children are hard to love? Isn't that true? Sometimes you look at your kids and you just ooze with love. And then the other times when they're acting like their other spouse, your other spouse, or they're acting like you, usually when they act like you is when you're wanting to pinch their heads off. You know, all of us have children that act like us. And those are usually the kids that we have the most trouble with. Think about that just a minute. Which one of your children act most like you? And that's the one that you have the most trouble with because they remind you of you. They have some of your weaknesses. And we struggle with that. But guess what? We have to love our children unconditionally, don't we? Now, let me make a couple of statements to you. Number one, God doesn't have love. God is love. And that's what we need to be our children. We don't need to just have love for our children. We need to impersonate. We need to embody love. And we need to show them love. Unconditional God's love. Now this is not just anything goes love. Because God doesn't say, I love you and anything goes. No, that's not what He says, because we're going to talk about love, we're going to talk about instruction, we're going to talk about choices, and then we're going to talk about rewards and consequences. But it begins with love. If it begins with condemnation, it won't work right. But when discipline is in love, guess what? The end result will be the best thing for that child. And that's what we need to be thinking about. And really, this is not child discipline that we're talking about. It's parental discipline. Because you have to be really, really disciplined in your life to be the kind of parent that you should be. You have to love, but you can't enable. You can't condemn. And a lot of times people, what they call love is not really love at all. They're enablers. And that's not loving somebody. When you're always giving in to them and all of those kind of things. But we'll talk about that just a minute. Okay. So we need to embody unconditional love to our children. See, the Bible says that God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. And because God is love, guess what? And we are of Him, if we've been saved, guess what? We have His love in our heart, and we have the ability to love with God's love. What greater place should that take place in than in the home? See, when you're out here in your church and you're doing all this, and I love you with the love of the Lord, and you're going home and being a demon, what's up with that? We call that hypocrisy. We can get along with our co-workers. We can get along with the people that we work with. You don't yell and scream at them. If you do, you don't work very long. But you go home and what do? You yell and scream at your kids. It's a problem. It's not a kid problem. It's a parental discipline problem. Now, have we all done that? Yeah. I've yelled at kids before. Sometimes I have to watch it. But it's a discipline. It's a discipline in our lives. Because we need to represent to them the love of God. They're going to see God through you. You are going to give them their picture of God. Why did the young lady reject God? Was she really rejecting God? She was rejecting what her parents portrayed to be as God. They painted a picture of God that was not a true picture of God. And she was rejecting that picture. And in essence, she was rejecting God. I wonder how many times that has happened. I wonder how many people are there that are turned off at church today because they have been in a church that has been hypocritical. Or they've been in a church that's been mean and ugly and legalistic or this and they reject that and they're rejecting God, but really what they're doing is rejected the image that they've been taught about God. This is why we need to be, this church needs to be a hospital. We need to be a place where people can recover, where people can be healed, where people can come in and grow at their spiritual pace. Because God unconditionally loves people. He does. And because He does, we need to do the same thing also. Wow. Okay. Here's another thing about love, what it does. It values the person that it disciplines. It values the person that it disciplines. Listen, if you love your children, you will discipline your children. But you'll do it because you love them. Okay? We could look at all kinds of scripture. We don't have time. We got 30 minutes to get this in. Let me encourage you to do something. Find books about this and read them. Invest in your family. Come to this love and respect conference and strengthen your marriage. You know, I have noticed that the people that usually come to these kind of conferences are people who have good marriages, and people who have shaky marriages, they shy away from these things. You know why? Because they don't want to deal with the issues in their marriage that need to be dealt with. Invest in your marriage. Take a hard look at what needs to be strengthened in your marriage, because your marriage will affect your children. It really will. It really will. The second thing that we need to talk about is instruction. Instruction. If we look back in the book of Genesis, when God put man in the garden, He put him in a paradise. And He gave him some instructions. And this is a good picture of family life, because Adam and Eve were God's child. And He put them in this paradise. He made this provision of love for them. He says, I'm giving you all of this. You're in control of it. You get to make choices. I love you and I'm blessing you and I'm giving you wonderful fruit to eat. In fact, of any tree in this garden, you can freely eat. You can eat all you want to. Pig out if you want to. He says, but I've got one rule. One rule. Instruction. He's going to give them some instruction. Because if He was going to have to give them a choice, there was going to have to be some rules. I'll say that again. If we're going to have choices, then there has to be some rules. There have to be some guidelines. He says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't you eat it. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. He gave them choice, and he also defined what the consequences or the rewards would be for their choices. So instruction always gives choices. So He gave them instructions. Now, a couple things we need to look at in the context of this. They messed up. We know that. We've studied that 100 times. But God didn't discipline them without first defining what the boundaries are. Now, boundaries are good things. Say good. Boundaries are good things. We have boundaries in here today. We have a ceiling. We've got 4 walls. We're protected from the heat. We're protected from the sunlight. We got cool in here. Are y'all cool? I'm hot, but I'm always hot. Is it hot in here? Okay, we need some cool control in here. So, but we're protected from the elements here. We feel secure inside of boundaries. And here's what instruction does. It gives us boundaries in our life. I'm glad that I can feel fairly safe out on the highway because there are boundaries posted on little signs out there that says 45, 35, 55. Now, there may be people who exceed those, but they can get in. There are consequences if they exceed those and get caught, isn't there? Have you ever had any of those consequences? But I can feel safe knowing that probably nobody's going to go 150 miles an hour down this highway here. It gives me some security. So this is what instruction does. It gives us boundaries. And boundaries gives us security in our life. When we give our children boundaries, it makes them psychologically secure. When they have no boundaries whatsoever, they are insecure. Now, you just can't give them boundaries without the next thing, choices and rewards and consequences. It all goes together. It all goes together. So, what do we need to do? We need to give them rules that are concise, simple, and easy to understand. They are children. Make sure they understand what the rules are. Okay? And then you're setting them up to make choices. Rules should not be complicated. They need to be communicated verbally, and they need to be demonstrated by the example that we set. If you're standing there with a cigarette in your hand and you're saying to your kid, don't smoke, and you're smoking, or you're standing there with a beer in your hand and you say, don't drink, guess what? Your actions speak louder than your words. If you're saying, don't you be telling lies, and you're lying, guess what? Your actions speak louder than your words do. So you have to communicate and you have to demonstrate. I told you this is not child discipline, it's parent discipline. Don't say, do as I say, not as I do. That is so hypocritical. We have to demonstrate. We have to walk it out. We have to live it. We don't have to just live it in front of them. But who are you when no one's looking? Who are you when no one's looking? It's just as important that you be consistent when nobody else is watching, because God is watching. And somebody said, yeah, He'll get you too. No, He loves you. There may be consequences for the things that you do that, you know, there's always consequences. So the next thing that we come to is choices. And let me ask you a question. Do children need choices? And it's true. They do need to be able to make choices. But you got to understand at the same time, they are not adults. They don't make choices based on experience. They make choices that are very immature. So even though they need choices, they need guided choices. Say that word with me. Guided choices. You know, I hear people say, well, I just let my kids do what they choose to do. Bad. Bad. Remember, there are eras. There needs to be targets. And we need to be guiding and teaching and instructing our children about choices, where they understand that there are rewards and consequences, because there's coming a time that they'll no longer be under your control and they will be making choices, and there will be rewards and consequences that you can't do anything about. When they're little, guess what you can do? You can kind of control the environment. The bigger they get, the less control that you have over their environment. So guess what? They need guided choices. See, they need to, when they do guided choices, it does two things. Number one, it helps their decision-making ability. It helps their decision-making ability. And it also develops their sense of security. They get confidence that they can make good decisions. If you make all of their decisions, guess what? They're never going to have the confidence that they can make decisions. So when we learn to guide them through instruction, showing them and demonstrating to them, it helps aim them in the right direction. You know, this is not rocket science. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because children are challenges. And you know what? You'll always be a parent. Now I want to say something I said in the first service. One of the mistakes that a lot of parents make is they try to become their child's best friend. You are not to be your child's best friend. You are not to be your child's friend. You are not a friend. You are a parent. Okay? Now, my children are grown. I can be more of a friend to them now than I can when they were little bitty fellas. They look up to you, they love you, but you're still the parent. You love them like a friend, you are a friend to them, but that is not your relationship. Your relationship is parent-child. You are the trainer, you are the mentor. And sometimes you're going to do some things to hurt their feelings. If you love them, you'll hurt their feelings sometimes. Okay. Well, I've heard people say, you know what? I'm just not going to teach my children about God. I'm going to let them make up their own mind about spiritual matters. Not good. Not good. Because you're not the influencer in their life. There's a multitude of organizations out there that their design is to influence your children. And if you're not influencing your children, someone else will. One of the top executors of MTV was asked this question. How does it make you feel that you are the greatest influence upon our adolescents and youth? He replied, "We don't just have the greatest influence on them, we own them." Now, I don't know, I don't watch MTV. I have flipped past it and I've seen some things on there. And I don't want them owning my children. I don't want them influencing my grandchildren. They need some guided instruction. See, I'm of the opinion that parents should be nosy. You're just too nosy. I'm talking about when your children are adolescent, puberty. You need to be in their business. Okay? You need to be up in their business. You need to know what they're watching on TV. You need to know who they're hanging out with. You need to know the kind of music that they're listening to. If you don't, they'll go towards the flesh. They'll be influenced by the influencers out there because they know how to influence. So you need to be in their business. You need to know what movies they're going to. Don't use the TV as a babysitter. Come on. Parents need to wake up. You need to be looking at their phones. You know what one of the big things going on right now is young girls, 11, 12-year-old girls, taking pictures of themselves in the bathtub and texting it to their classmates. Now, I had a lady who cleans my teeth tell me that she picked up her friend's phone that her daughter had been texting on to see what she had texted and saw this picture of this 12-year-old girl naked that she had texted to her boyfriend. The parents need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. Oh, I just trust my child. They're kids. They do immature things. You need to be in their business. I know this is not going to make me popular with the teenagers. I told my sons, I says, you know, you may go, I want to know where you're at, and just be apprised that I may show up at where you're at. And if I call and you're not there, buddy, you're in trouble. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to develop some character. I'm trying to help them make good choices. You leave children to themselves, they will make bad choices. They need guidance. They should be able to make choices. If they make wrong choices, guess what? There needs to be consequences. And that's the next thing that we want to talk about is consequences. Rewards and consequences. I wonder if Adam really intended to devastate humanity like he did by his bad choice. When Adam sinned against God, he not only devastated his life, he devastated your life. Because when you come into this world, you have a sin nature. You were not designed to have a sin nature, but because of Adam's disobedience, one act of disobedience, he cursed mankind. Thank God that Jesus came and paid the price for that curse. He broke the power of sin. But we still have it to deal with today because of that. And sometimes we look at choices and think, well, that's not too bad. And then you do it and the consequences are greater than what you anticipated. Usually the cost is greater than the act. It could mean a child out of wedlock. There are some drugs that you take one time and you're addicted. There are some things that happen one time and you're in trouble. I know of people who did one thing wrong and went to prison. There's consequences. And the consequences are usually greater than the act. So when children are little, that's when we need to start teaching them about choosing and rewards and consequence. Because you can control consequences when they're little. You can control the bad consequences when they're little. The bigger they get, the closer to adulthood that they get, you lose control. See, our whole deal is to bring them from total dependence to interdependence. That's our goal in life, is to bring them from total dependence, because when they come into this world, they're totally dependent. And we need to bring them to the place that they are marriable material and they can be interdependent and have a relationship with a spouse. That's what we're designing them for, is for the future. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Do like I do, son. Okay. One thing I want to say, and I've got to bring this to a close. Train your children to your word. One of the greatest things that people struggle with is believing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word. We have difficulty believing what God says. Maybe it's because we couldn't believe what our parents told us. Train your children to your word, not to your tone. Are you ready? Ariel, if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. She does it again. Ariel, I said if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. She did it again. Ariel, if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. She does it one more time. Ariel! Then she quits. Does she believe my word? What is she trained to? My tone. She knows that I lied. And she quit when she knew that the next step beyond that tone was consequences. What we need to do is train our children to our word and not our tone. That way you don't get angry. Because anger is not... Are you listening? Everybody listen. Anger is not showing love. If you have to yell and scream, let me tell you where you need to go back to. You need to go back to right here. Because God don't yell and scream at you. God don't get mad at you. God don't cuss at you. So what are you doing cussing at your kids? Come on. Woo, baby. He's shucking the corn today. If you're doing that, stop it. In Jesus' name, stop it. Because you're damaging the hearts of your children. If you need to get help, get help. Find a book on anger. Find a book on raising children. Find a book on understanding your children's temperament. They're out there. There's all kinds of material out there. Don't be too ornery or lazy to read it. It'll help you. Do it for your children. God, do it for yourself. We need to turn the tide in this nation. And if it don't start in the house of God, where is it going to start? We are the greatest influencers that our children. I mean, why do we think that our child's education is the responsibility of the state? Do you trust the state to educate your child? When they come home with their homework, do you help them with their homework? Or are you too busy? A lot of times we'll send our kids to school and we'll say, it's their responsibility to educate them. Or we take them to church and we say, it's Miss Nancy's job to teach them. Listen, it's your job to teach them. Miss Nancy can help you. She can help facilitate. She can work with you. But it's not her responsibility to teach your children. It's your responsibility. We need to take responsibility for the education, spiritual, mental, of our children. We need to be so involved in that. Say, I don't have time. You don't have time for your children. You don't have time for their education. You don't have time for their spiritual education. You need to rearrange your priorities. There's some things that you need to get rid of in your life, because your children are the greatest ministry that you'll ever have. If you fail at ministering to your children, You can forget about ministering to people out here. Because it's not going to work. It's not going to have any power in it. It begins with you and God. You and your spouse. You and your children. Then it flows out from there. We got to get the core right. It has to flow from the inside to the outside. And guess what? When it does that, we can change a nation. We can, if everybody, if all Christians would take the spiritual education and the discipline of their children as a ministry of priority, guess what? We would change so many things. We'd put Crystal out of business. We'd put John 3:16 out of business. We wouldn't have to have Celebrate Recovery. Because our children would be our priorities. Amen. I got a lot of flack in the olden days for being involved with my kids. I had people in the church. See, I coached baseball. I coached. When my kids were in playing ball, I coached. I had people criticizing me saying, you don't need to be coaching ball. You need to be knocking on doors. You need to be ministering to people. You don't need to be running around coaching baseball. There was a time that Joe played pitching machine, Kevin played Little League, and Davey was in Babe Ruth. Three different fields. I hope we cure that this next week. But that's three different fields, and we had to make choices of where we were going to be. And I coached on two of them and helped on the other one. It was hard. But you know what? I didn't lose my kids. I did spiritual things with them. I made sure they were in church. I did fun things with them. We took vacations. We did family stuff. We made birthdays special. And today my kids are all serving this church. One of the things that people criticize about, that's that insel church out there. They're just full of insels. Yeah, they are. There's a bunch of insels out here. And you know, the thing is that they're all involved. What kind of influencer would I be if I was pastoring this church and my children were not in church and away from God because I neglected them? What kind of testimony would that be for me as a pastor and a leader? It would not be a good one. We invested in our kids and it paid off. Not only are my kids involved in this church, but my brother's kids are involved in this church. Chris and all of them. And they love this church and they love you and they pour out and they sacrifice for you. You know what's going to be neat? And I've seen this because Jay and Faye Hudson raised their kids in this church. And guess what? There sits their three knotheads right there. And they're in this church. You know what they're doing? They're raising their kids in this church. You know what? When you get old and wrinkly, your children are going to be serving in this church. That's the way it should be. It should be perpetuating. Not just the pastor's kids. It's your kids. They're going to intermarry. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine when all that starts happening? The Jones kids and the Ensel kids and the Jarrett kids and... It's going to be wild. If we raise them right, guess what? It will perpetuate the church and the influence of the church. It's important. Your first ministry is to your family. It's to your family. Before you step out, and you need to step out beyond your family. You got friends, you got co-workers, you got the stranger, you got the hurting person. We all have responsibility. But if we neglect the home, if we neglect the kids, we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a church and we're in trouble as a nation. Amen.